Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Grant Wise here. Welcome to the Real Estate U University Podcast. What's up, everybody? Grant Wise here, jumping in live. Welcome to the Real Estate U University Podcast. I'm here with a very, very special guest today. I got my good friend and just a guy that I look up to when it comes to content and putting stuff out there. I got Mr. Sebastian Rusk on air with us today. So Sebastian, what's up, man? How's it going?
What up, G-Dub? Real Estate U, that name sounds familiar.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Somebody helped me create that name. I won't mention any names just yet. But
well, it's good to finally be on the show. My goodness, I thought I'd never get a phone call about being on the show.
Yeah, we figured it was time. Yeah. Sebastian is a digital storyteller, which is very unique and very interesting. We're going to go into that. He owns a content-based marketing agency in Miami, helps real estate agents create show content, helps attorneys, helps mortgage officers, is very familiar with the real estate and finance space. And today he's going to talk to us a little bit about show content and podcasts and videos and those types of things that you guys could be doing. And I'm going to add a little bit of my flavor when it comes to combining, you know, paid advertisements through Facebook ads with show content. I'm going to talk to you about how that dramatically changed the results we were getting in our business and what we're seeing in other real estate agents, mortgage officer, title agents, you know, basically anybody's business right now. So Sebastian, why don't you tell everybody about yourselves, man? Who are you? You know, I met you back when I was just like really starting to get my feet wet in the internet marketing world. I go to this big show, February 2014. It was Traffic and Conversion Summit, San Diego, California. And this dude walks out and just electrifies the room with this big old green or blue or red bow tie that he was rocking. And that's how I got my first taste of Sebastian Rusk. A couple years later, I started putting on my own events and I went to Twitter and I was like, all right, I want to get that MC that was on Traffic and Conversion stage and connected with Sebastian. He came out, he's done multiple events for us and has really added a lot of value to our community. So I wanted to add value to you guys that are listening to this now, watching this now. So that's how I met you, man. But like, what's the backstory? How'd you get into all this stuff? Why does social media suck? Why do podcasts suck? Why do all these things suck?
It definitely sucks if you don't know what you're doing. So yes. Yeah, crazy story how you and I connected, but that's the nature of the business of being a professional at event MC is that the ripple effect after other events on. I didn't get a chance to meet you, but I saw you on stage and I've got an event coming up, so I need you. So it's really cool how we were able to connect, but also strike up a good friendship and also a business relationship too, and working on a few different projects. So my story began back in 2010 when the bubble popped and the market crashed, right? So it wasn't rainbows and butterflies, everyone selling, buying and selling homes in a very thriving market like we're experiencing today. It was in fact very, very dark and trying time. So I had a marketing company for realtors and mortgage companies in Southern California. And that clearly went away in 2008. I found myself moving back to Miami with a duffel bag and my daughter and telling myself, well, I guess this is where chapter two begins. It took me a couple of years to really wrap my head around what I wanted to do next. I had been in the social media space since 2004, which essentially makes me a pioneer because I was there in the LinkedIn were the first guys on the block. And then quickly after that, MySpace came. And then of course, Facebook to follow and revolutionize the digital landscape as we saw it. So it took me a while to figure out what I wanted to do, but also 2008, 2010, not exactly the best time to start a business, not the best time to do anything at all. And if I'm being frank, from 2008 to 2010, I just sucked my thumb and felt sorry for myself and wondered how did I go from rags to riches back to rags and how do I get back to where I need to be? So in 2010, I just woke up, had this Anthony Robbins just out of my way, enough, let's go. And in fact, had a friend introduce me to somebody that travels with Tony on his core team. And I wanted to go to Unleash the Power Within, Walk on Fire, really wake this giant up. Never ended up going to UPW that year, but I did get introduced to my friend that worked with Tony. And she said, you know, what are you going to do next? We met for a drink, and I said, you know, I really don't know. She goes, you know, what do you do? And at that point, Grant, my answer was nothing. Like, I don't do anything. Like, I used to do some cool stuff in California, but now I do nothing because I'm figuring it out. And I got really frustrated with that answer. I'm doing nothing. I'm pretty much just a degenerate to society. I have no job. I just lost it all. And I feel sorry for myself all day. I said, I'm better than that. She said, well, you're really good at this social media thing. And you showed me that video that you shot with your laptop earlier this week about doing direct marketing for debt consolidation and credit card consolidation companies. Why don't you start a YouTube channel? Like, and I think you'd have like a million followers. And I'm like, well, there is a lot of buzz around social media. She goes, there's a lot of buzz around social media. And if you had like a TV show, so as she's speaking these words out, I'm conceptualizing in my head, social buzz TV. Hey, social buzz TV, that works. It'll be a YouTube channel where I'm going to educate people about my advantage was that I knew more than most. And I still think that I do. Not as a know-it-all, but I know more than the average Joe knows about social media and how it works into their existing infrastructure of marketing, right? So I said, if I lead with education, then I'll at least get people's interest. And then from there, maybe we can move into, hey, I'll set up your Facebook page or Twitter account. So I immediately came up with the logo, which is still the Social Buzz TV logo today. I had a logo. I had no card, no money. I had a bus pass, and I had an awesome skateboard, superb means of transportation. So I began to just play the part, Grant. I'd show up at your networking event, and I'd say, hey, Grant, I got this flip cam here that I'm going to put together a video recap of your event. Just let me into your event for free, and I'm going to give you the video for free. You just tell everybody about me. And you're like, is this real? Okay, dude, sure, come on. And I quickly learned they always let a guy with a bow tie and a camera in pretty much anywhere. So I started to do go to these networking events, do these recap videos. But then I quickly thought, well, how hard are these networking events? So I'd go to Fleming's around the corner here, and I'd say, hey, listen, on Monday night, I want to bring 30 to 50 people here that you don't know, and I want you to offer a free cocktail. This is Miami. Nobody has one drink. And then pass around appetizers, and my people will meet your people, and it'll be a slower night for you too, a Monday, Tuesday night. So they bit, and then when it worked at Fleming's, then the event person from Morton's would call, then from Morton's with Seasons 52, and I thought, wow, I'm really onto something. Well, people would show up and say, hey, listen, you know, I own a company called Grant Wise. Can I be a sponsor? How much is that? And I'm like, $250.
That's so I quit. $2,000 right there.
Yeah, $1 million. So I quickly was monetizing these events because I never charged for them because I thought that was always an expectation. If you show up at a networking event and you paid me something, you're expecting to get something from me. And the only thing I have to give you at a networking event are introductions to my network and exposure if you decided to be a sponsor. So as I continued to perfect that motto, people said, hey, and then I would tell Morton's, hey, listen, I need that room upstairs tomorrow because I'm going to bring everybody back after the networking event for my social media boot camp. And I'd run a boot camp for 3 hours. They'd stick around for lunch. They'd give them a set menu. Morton's was happy because people were there eating in their restaurant. They were there the night before drinking in their restaurant, and they're meeting a new audience. So that model really helped me monetize what I was doing with Social Buzz TV because for the first year, I didn't make any money. Like 2010 to 2011 was zero cash. And then people said, hey, I've been to your networking event. I've been to your bootcamp. Maybe you can help me with my social media. And that's where the lights went on. And I decided to open the agency in November of 2011. So I really reverse engineered starting an agency really from nothing. And I didn't want to find any investor money. I knew I could sell the business off the ground, which is precisely what I did. It's been a longer journey, significantly longer journey. But I firmly also believe that when you're building a brand, you're also simultaneously building the character within yourself that you need to be able to execute on that brand and do something that actually matters. I didn't realize that until 8 years into the game. In fact, we celebrated 8 years last week. So I just knew, Grant, that if you make enough noise, someone will come knock on your door. You know, that includes the police after 10 p.m. But I've lived that because as people started to pay me to set up a Facebook page, I was like, is this real life? Or to create a small video with my flip cam. And then we started being a full service agency where we're just setting up all of your accounts for you because nobody had a YouTube account, Facebook account back then. setting up the accounts, creating the content, and then my real category of one where I wanted to carve myself out as not just another social media person was that I was giving the small guys the big guy opportunity. I was giving them the opportunity to say, hey, listen, I may be a local dry cleaner or a pizza shop here, but I am in the social media game and I know it's a marathon. I just followed Gary V's blueprint from Crush It and exactly what he did. Find something you're passionate about and go after it. I was passionate about giving an opportunity to local businesses where they could compete with larger brands, right? A local business is never going to be able to afford hiring a celebrity spokesperson, but they will be able to afford hiring an up-and-coming micro-influencer, soon-to-be celebrity with a bow tie that can create the same effect that nobody else is doing and their competition is doing. So I really found a niche in being able to create that content. If we fast forward a few years, I quickly learned what I don't like doing too. And in the mundane tasks of setting up accounts, creating content, and explaining to clients there's no immediate return on investment was grueling. I had to have a little bit more of an exchange. So we switched a few things around a couple of years back, strictly moved to a content model as far as the agency is concerned, with creating video content, taking that content, turning it into podcast content, turning the podcast content into blog content, and really just following, again, Gary Vee's model on what he did. He shoots his Ask Gary Vee show. He pulls the audio. Voila, he's got a podcast. He cleans up the replay of the live. He's got a piece of YouTube content. And I just follow that model, and it's worked extremely, extremely well, especially with live and stuff like this that's happening right now where every brand should have a show of some form or fashion because they can become a media company. That's, I believe, this is the first time in the history of definitely our lifetime that a brand can legitimately step in and the tables have turned. They no longer have to go to ABC or NBC or Fox and have an ad spend. They can take that ad spend and put it into content and Facebook ads and Google ads and create their own media company. So yeah, it's just an exciting, exciting time to be in business.
Let's dive into this a little bit because I want to give some value to those that are listening. Let's talk about a podcast or a show. Right now, like predominantly, you're seeing, you know, we used to have radio, now we have podcasts. We used to have ABC, NBC, CBS, and now we have Facebook, YouTube, Hulu, Netflix. We have all these different types of social internet-based platforms that are popping up. So if an agent's sitting here and they're listening to this, or a loan officer, or anybody, really for that matter, what would the like immediate next step be? Like, why should they create a show? Maybe like some simple little tweaks on how they could create that show. You alluded to it for just a second when you said you record a show, strip the audio, put it on your podcast, and then clean it up and put it on YouTube. But let's get way, 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 way more simple here, way more practical and basically actionable. What could somebody do to create a show? We know how valuable it is, but what are some steps somebody could take to create a podcast or create a video, like a Facebook Live series or something like that?
Well, you take out your phone and open up Live and hit go live and just start talking. I mean, I'll never forget. I heard one of Gary's best talks ever was back in 2008 at Web 2.0. And he talked about whatever you're passionate about. If you're passionate about Smurfs, Smurf it up and start blogging about it. I think the same thing applies within the real estate realm. And it's important to understand that your competition is not doing this. So let that be your motivation. And I'm talking specifically within the real estate realm. There's a lot of drones, there's a lot of pictures, there's a lot of videos going on, but nobody's getting creative with actually having a show. So step one is, if I was a realtor, I treat it this way. Every time I talk to a realtor about this, I have the same identical conversation. And that is, if I was a realtor, I would be doing interviews with other local businesses talking about the best pizza shop, the best park, the best neighborhood. And I would be leading with education with my real estate business to really provide as much massive value as I can to my community, so that when prospective buyers and sellers see my content, they go, that's the kind of guy I want to work with.
I'm going to stop.
Cares about the community.
I want to stop for just 1 second, and I want to inject right here. Like, you're listening to what he's saying. You know, I teach direct marketing and I teach branding. Those are two different things. Direct marketing is I'm gonna put out an ad and I'm going to immediately get a name, email, phone number, right? That's how you grow your database. That's how you build media, get followers. Branding is really injecting your face, your name, your mission, your purpose into the community in such a way that people grow to know you, like you, and trust you. Building preeminence, kind of busting through obscurity. When you think about branding, think about companies like Apple, think about companies like Starbucks, think about companies like Google that have these just profound brands that when people think about these products, they develop these associations that they tie themselves to them, okay? So if you're a real estate agent, I just wanna slow down for a second and make sure you didn't miss what he just said. Value, I think you're always asking, how can I add value to my community, okay? Perfect, perfect explanation right here, Sebastian. You just literally go interview the local pizza shop owner. You just go interview the local insurance agent. You just go interview the local mortgage officer. And what you're doing is you're providing education about the community and you're providing education about the real estate process. And you are helping people understand how to be, you know, basically a citizen of the community. You're teaching them how to be there, where to go. You know, everybody's always like, I got a guy. Like, you're teaching them who your guys are, who your girls are that can help them, from dry cleaning to painting to insurance to roofing to flooring to cleaning ladies, yep, to everything that you could think of. So, like, when you're thinking about this and you're thinking, like, well, what should I talk about? It's very simple. Just talk about your community. And what I try to teach is, like, how to record that content and how to just, like, literally just press the go live button, just like he said. Don't say, I don't have a camera or I don't have a professional microphone like Grant and Sebastian have right now. I don't have the light kits and the, you know, I could flip the camera around. You can see my studio I've got set up. Like, I don't have any of that, Grant. That's fine. Because when I got started doing this, I started recreating my video content. I had a crappy cell phone. I had a crappy microphone. I didn't even have a microphone because it was in my cell phone. I had an Android at the time. So I had a crappy microphone. And my phone stand that I would set stuff up to record on, this little $36 whiteboard that I got, was my daughter's princess box. It's like, don't tell me that you can't do it, because if you really wanted to, you would. But I think it's paramount that you are being seen in your community every single day. Sebastian, I've ran Facebook ads without fail for the last 4 years, every single day. And when I travel, it's like, it's just what you said. I got a topic that I don't want to lose here. Hold on one second. But when I travel, I can't go anywhere without somebody saying, I know you, you're Grant Wise. You help real estate agents do Facebook ads. And what has happened, and I'm going to give you the mic back here in a second, I promise. But what has happened is, you know, since we were kids, we were watching TV, we were being programmed to celebritize what we saw on that TV screen. And so now the TV dynamic has changed. The TV is not ABC, NBC, CBS. The TV is YouTube, it's Facebook, it's Instagram, it's Snapchat, it's these social platforms. And so when people see you on their phones, on their new TV set, what's happening is you're being celebritized. I was talking to an agent yesterday who walked into a gas station and the cashier says, hey, I know you're that real estate agent from Facebook. Talk me through this. Why does this happen? Why? And obviously I have my opinions on why people need to do this, but, like, walk me through this. What's happened for some of your clients? Because I'm sure it's almost like a local celebrity status. You know, like, let's talk about this a little bit.
Oh, I absolutely turn all of our clients from, I don't have enough time, I'm gonna be shitty on camera, I'm the all the above, to complete absolute rock stars. It is mind boggling, Grant. And I'm talking like attorneys and people. So, and I'm showing this illustration on, we work with traditional boring businesses. Litigating is boring shit. I don't care what you're doing. However, comma, if you're interviewing, like, for instance, we have a title company, one of our larger clients here. And the client's not only a good friend of mine, but just does an incredible job in the space, has a phenomenal reputation and knows everybody and anybody in town. So when we started a video series 2 years ago, and then a video series, somebody had a podcast or a video show. He said, I want to do that. Now he's like, what's happening, everybody? Welcome to another. They go from, like, I can't do this, to, when are we recording again? So I want to preface things by saying, whatever story's going on in your head about why you're not recording live or creating video content to provide value to your audience is not true. Because how you perceive yourself on video is not how your viewers perceive you. You've got to remember that as human beings, we are interpretation machines, which means, yes, make shit up. And that's, and the scary part is, it's on automatic.
I heard Eric Thomas. Eric Thomas is one of the top five motivational speakers in the world. And I was listening to one of his podcasts. He's like, I hate the way that I sound on a camera. I hate it. Like, I think it's the worst thing in the world. But that doesn't stop him from doing it because people need to hear his message. They need to meet him. And you get so many, I think, real estate agents, they tell me this, Grant, if I could just get in front of the prospects, I can close them. And statistically, that's true. 86% of the time, the consumer chooses the first agent that they meet. Now, what do you think happens when they see you on a video camera, right? They see you on social media. Hey,
your credibility increases.
They just met you. Your credibility just went up. They're building this celebrity-based persona about who you are and what you do. And I don't know if you know, this is another shocking statistic, but 79% of people in 2017, 79% of consumers, they chose the first agent that they talked to. That's it. Wow. Talked to. That doesn't even mean like, you know, met with, talked to. That is an absurd, absurd statistic. So when you put yourself out there in somewhat of a celebrity-based fashion, and I'm not saying you need the glitz and the glam and the nice cars and the nice suit, you need any of that stuff. When you just authentically be yourself, which is what we as a consumer want right now, we want to see the imperfections. We want to see the authentic nature of, you know, who we're doing business with. I don't study Tesla. I study Elon Musk because I want to know who I'm supporting. I don't study Starbucks. I study the behavior of Howard Schultz because I want to know who I'm doing business with. I want to understand who I'm working with because I think whether you're selling pizzas or you're selling houses, you are building relationships with your consumers. And having that social media presence.
I mean, it's vital. And here's the deal. We as human beings as well, we go back to the personal. I mean, we just go to the human nature side of things for a second. You know, we make stuff up, but we also judge silently, constantly, and it never stops. And if you say that you don't judge others, you're a liar, right? Because it just automatically happens. I mean, now how this comes into play for you and your business is you've got to realize that your prospective buyers and sellers, your prospective customers and clients, if they get to your website and it's terrible and they can't connect with you and watch your videos and go to your Facebook page and follow you on Instagram, they are judging you. And they're going to the next guy in line or gal in line that is, in fact, FYI, your competition. So why even give them a reason to be able to do that? I said that I like to say that if I Google myself, I occupy about 7 pages of content, I would say. Now, I don't say that to stroke my ego. I say that to say, yes, I've been crushing the content game for a minute now because the stuff that shows up on 8 pages of Google is all social media content. That blows my mind. And I do show that example a lot to prospective clients or consulting clients that we're working with for illustration purposes to say, listen, could you imagine typing in real estate Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and the only thing you saw were flip videos of Janet and Chuck and Janet running around town interviewing local businesses and really crushing it. So, I mean, that's a great example because those are two individuals that are doing it. They are in the game. They are creating the content. And what happens is, what I'm learning is that once you launch when I say launch a Facebook Live show, that means you are physically taking your phone out and saying, I'm in a park and I'm going to talk about the real estate in my local town here for 5 minutes. And I'm just going to let it roll. That's going to be my first episode ever. And then I'm going to go back. I'm going to formalize how this all works. I'm going to take out a sheet of paper. Episode 2 is going to be titled this. Episode 3, I'm going to see if I can interview Ernie the Butcher. Episode 3, I'm going to run over. Oh, I totally know the girls over at the hair salon would love to chat. They've been around here forever and a day while I'm getting my nails done. We'll do a quick 5-minute clip there. And there we go. I got my 4 episodes already lined out. They're 5 minutes each. It's 20 minutes total. And I got my brand new show. It's called The Real Estate Agent Show. It's going to be the best show ever. And you get out there and you sell the dream and you sell the excitement, and it's not inauthentic. If you are genuinely excited about what you are doing and the content you're creating, people will get excited. If you don't believe me, start nodding at people. They will start nodding back, right? So it's the same basic thing with your content, and you're exactly right. Happens to me all the time, and I'm ridiculously humbled by it. Hey, you're Sebastian Rusk, and I'm like, who's asking, right? But that's the realm that I'm getting into. That's where we're at here.
What are you, a cop? What are you? What are
yeah.
you?
Depends who's asking. I was at a shoot the other day. We've got an autism school that we do a show for, and she wanted to do a show to reach other community leaders and other brands that support the autism cause, because she's growing as a school and they're building another school, etc. Brilliant strategy. So we conceptualized it, launched, so jumped into it. She called me that Monday and said, hey, we can't shoot this week because we have the Colgate truck here on Friday and they're going to be giving kids exams. I go, what? Perfect. Hello, Colgate. Hello. She goes, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. Yes, be here at 9:30. Where did we record? On the Colgate truck, right in front of the exam chairs with the Colgate exam ladies and my client talking about the school and Colgate. You think Colgate got excited about that?
Yep.
So these are, I'm just, again, for illustration purposes, to show you a school for autism here locally here in Miami is finding a tremendous amount of value from being able to launch their own show and be able to remain consistent. Now, she wanted a podcast, and I said, well, here's the good news. You can have a live show, and you can have a podcast and a video for your YouTube channel. She was ecstatic.
I want to talk about something that we've not talked about yet, and I think it's probably we're probably going to end up wrapping up with this, but I think this is one of the simplest and most profound parts of interviewing local business owners and local community leaders and local influencers where you guys are at as real estate agents. Okay, so follow me for a second. I have been doing, you know, Facebook marketing for the last 5 years, teaching real estate agents how to build businesses through Facebook ads, right? So I have, sorry for the background noise. There's somebody apparently weed eating by the office window here. So forgive that if you guys are listening to this. For the last 5 years, there have been, I can't even tell you how many people I've tried to get in touch with, tried to get a hold with, tried to get them to call me back. Big community influencers. And when I say community influencers, like real estate coaches, people that have really big followings that I know I could help. But the only problem is when you're trying to sell somebody a product, nobody wants to talk to you. So what I did is I followed Sebastian's advice and I started listening to what he was saying. And it was like, hey man, how could you add value to these people? And Sebastian helped me launch my podcast and some of my social media shows. And so when I flipped the script and I reached out and I said, hey, I'm looking to interview dominant real estate players in the community that can add value to the people that listen to my podcast and watch my shows, I got responses in less than 30 seconds. People wanting to jump on right then and there. Hey, let's get an interview scheduled today. Let's do this. Let's go. People that really wanted to be seen with me. And so, or vice versa, they wanted me, I wanted to be seen with them. Now this is what the powerful part of this is. I could never get these people to talk to me until I started interviewing them. And then after we did a little 30-minute business interview about them and who they are and how they help people, the conversation instantly went to collaboration. Grant, hey, you know, Michael J. Mayer, I was talking to Michael a few weeks ago when I interviewed him on my podcast, big, big influential leader in the real estate community. How can we help each other? How could I help you? How could you help me? And so what I'm saying, guys, is like when you go to that local community leader, maybe it's let's call it the local roofing company. Everybody's got a roof, right? If you're selling a house, and you say, look, I want to be your referral partner. You know, please send me all your referrals when it comes to, you know, people that are trying to buy a home that you run into. It's going to turn them off immediately. How many times do you think he hears that in a week? But when you say, hey, hey, Jerry, you're the best roofer in town, and I want to interview you on my Facebook Live show, and maybe you could give the community some tips about their roof and so on and so forth, and I'm actually going to promote that to my following. Well, hey, guess what? Jerry the roofer that's got 1,200 followers on his Facebook page, what do you think he's going to do with that piece of content? He's going to share it. So what happens is you create this syndicate. So the local salon girl that kills it and has 5,000 followers on Instagram, which agent do you think that she's sharing the interview she did with? And the local mayor that needs attention for the next political race, which we're getting ready to jump into again, that's got 20,000 followers in the community, who do you think he's going to share the interview with? His entire base, his entire following. So what's happening is you're creating this incredibly powerful association. The general consumer, buyers and sellers, they're seeing you with their favorite business owners. They're seeing you with their favorite community leaders and their favorite local community influencers. And what's happening is you're rising to the top without even talking to anybody, without trying to cold call and door knock and follow up with 1,000 leads in a day. It's just a natural byproduct of what happens when you're building your brand and you're creating all these very strong local business affiliations. People will then, and it never fails, within 4 weeks, now I've got, my phone is blowing up. People want to be on my podcast. They want to be on my show. People want me to interview them. And I don't even have to ask anybody anymore. It's so incredible what happens. So what have you seen? I know that you've been in this game for a minute. Talk to me a little bit about the power of leveraging local business relationships. I tell people all the time, look, relationships have taken me places. Facebook ads never will. But Facebook created a lot of those relationships. So like, talk to me about what you've seen with relationships and the power of association and being seen with other big brands in the community. And the Colgate thing that sprung the topic in my mind, but it's sure. So true. It's so true. Cause Colgate's going to take recognition of that and say, this is brilliant. We need to interview everybody as we do this and syndicate this content.
Sure, exactly. And I believe that the show will eventually turn into, this is the Stars Autism show brought to you by Colgate. I believe opportunities like that will start to transpire and take place as the show continues to grow and take shape as to what it's doing. But I don't think it's not just the local businesses. It's the bigger fish that we're trying to go. I would never in my wildest dreams be able to call Gary Vaynerchuk a friend had I not hunted him down like the DA looking for child support when I first read Crush It back in 2010. And people were like, Gary, who? And I knew this guy is going to blow up and explode and be the go-to source. I just knew it. So I got to get a hold of the guy. And I pinned down an interview. And that interview spun into me spending an hour with him and having his attention for the past 8 years, which you and I both know is valuable.
Yeah,
right?
He just did the Agent 2021 event in Miami in the Dolphin Stadium, and then you got to do like a 30-minute private interview with him, which was...
Oh, we hung out all day. No, I emailed him and said, hey, you're coming, you'll be in town. I'd love to be there with Social Buzz, and I'll bring the crew and cover the day. And there wasn't a ton of media. It was a lot of local media, not local news media. We hung out all day. My only disappointment was that the sound guy introduced him, and I was walking downstairs. We were walking downstairs. He's like, I'm going to go deliver my keynote. And I didn't walk all the way to the stage with him because I would have just asked him. But anyway, we're in talks right now. It looks like hopefully Agent 2021 in 2019, the bow tie will be making an appearance if all goes well. But that relationship started because I read his book. I emailed him because he gave his email out in every chapter. But I continued to grow that relationship. Now, where this concept and strategy really started to land was I got a phone call a couple months ago from a guy I'm in B&I with that owns a sales training company. And he said, I want to start a podcast because I want to interview local CEOs that I can't get in front of. And I want them to discuss their biggest challenges with sales in 2018. And I'm going to walk them through that whole interview and get as much pain points as I can. Then I'm going to leverage all those pain points to go back and get a meeting. And they're going to give me a meeting because I've already got a rapport, or at least 80% of them will. And I thought, wow, I've been using this concept. I mean, the people that I've come across and been able to get on my podcast from the early days of social media when, you know, Mari Smith was like she's still a big deal and she's still the Facebook queen out there and a great friend. But I looked up to her when I first started on here, and I called her office and emailed her office and finally got her on the show and developed a relationship from there. And then that led into a testimonial for one of my first reels. Ran into Marie Forleo in the elevator at Traffic and Conversions a couple of years ago. She's like, holy shit, you're killing it up there. And I'm like, me? You're Marie Forleo. What?
Me?
You're dope. So, we immediately hit it off. She was two doors down from me in my hotel room. And I look up and I go, shut the front door. And she looked at me like, what? And she's like, dude, you're crushing it over there. I'm like, you probably don't remember me, but we talked when B-School first launched, etc. I'd love to have you on the podcast. She goes, you know what? We're about to launch B-School again for the 10th time in a couple months. And, we've got some time to do it. So let's definitely connect. And it took me a couple months, but we finally made it happen. It was an awesome interview. But again, and now she likes my posts on Instagram, like retweets my stuff, tweets me back. I'm like, what? Is this real life? But it all came from an interview. Now, how does this apply to you as a realtor in local businesses? The same identical model that you're developing relationships, just like you've done, and your phone's ringing off the hook for people to be on your show. you can apply to your business. Chuck and Janet are great examples of that. You know, but go into your local business and interview them for 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be a long time. And if you think you look like crap, you're wrong. You look awesome. Here's two tips that you need to know, and these are common video tips. Make sure you're in a quiet place, at least quiet enough, where when you're recording the interview, people can hear you, and that the lighting is in front of you. So if you're in front of a window, make sure you're facing the window, not behind the window. You want lighting in your face. Natural light is amazing. Yellow fluorescent white light is the devil. So try to get outside of that lighting. But as long as you've got, if you can step outside on a nice day, I know up in the Northeast, it might be a little challenging right now, but good lighting in front of a window, interviewing them about what's their business all about. When did you start? How long have you been in the community? What's the favorite menu item for people that come here? And again, thanks so much for your time. If you have any questions about Johnny's Biscuits, make sure you give him a call and let him know that Sebastian the Realtor sent you. And that celebrity starts to go. And then when you're in an airport or you're in a local store, you're like, hold, there's a pair of realtors here that are huge. They only sell $1 million mansions on the ocean. They're called the Jills. They're both named Jill. The Jills. And I don't know how much real estate they physically sell themselves anymore because they've got quite the team. But if you run into the Jills around town, you know that's the Jills, right? Same basic thing locally here. Speaking of mayors. Francis Suarez, mayor of the city of Miami. That's not just some small podunk little town here. That's the city, the mayor of the city of Miami. Thankfully, he had an office while he was a commissioner in my attorney's office, who happens to also be a client, that he went to high school with him, and I went to high school with my attorney. So we were able to connect, and I showed up during his final campaign days to those private fundraisers in some ginormous mansion, paying my dues, just shaking hands, kissing babies. Then I showed up in the Arts District for the Young Professionals fundraiser for Francis, where everybody my age, 40 and under, were there to support in some awesome art gallery. And I was there. I felt that I needed to be there with a camera crew, not just bust out my phone. I do that for Instagram and stories with that because he loves doing it and he's awesome at social media. But I showed up locked and loaded with a camera crew. And did a quick interview and talked about what his vision was for protecting and continuing to grow the brand of Miami. And he's, you know, 39 years old, good looking dude, been a commissioner for 5 years. I mean, fits the role perfectly. And then Drake came here 2 weeks ago, dropped $1 million in the city. Well, he didn't, but the production company did. Yep. And shot his God's Plan video right here in Miami. And that. Francis was in it on the last part, the school part, where he's up in the fire truck. Francis is the good-looking Cuban that's known as our mayor. But next thing I know, I look on Francis's feed, and it's a picture of him and Drake in a part of town called Little Haiti that said, I'm so glad that today Drake decided to make Miami part of God's plan. And I thought, wow, what an exciting time to live in Miami. But wow, what an exciting time to have a pending meeting with Francis, because I constantly have created this mayor buzz without it being an official campaign on everything we do. Mayor buzz this, mayor buzz that. That's attracted Francis to say, I want to sit down and sink my teeth into this mayor buzz thing to see how we can expand on it. And my idea is a once a week show called the Mayor Buzz Show at his office at City Hall around the corner that's right on the water with a marina on it, and have him just give a quick 5 to 7 minute state of the week, state of the city for the week, mayor buzz update that will then turn into a podcast and will turn into YouTube content. So I'm excited for that. It's just pinning the guy down. You can imagine it's like pinning down, you know, the president. So, but yeah. That stuff's happened because I've just shown up and paid my dues. Same thing applies with Gary. I didn't get paid to be there, but I spent all day with Gary. I was with Gary's sister. I met Gary's mom. I mean, invaluable information that no one would have access to. 100%. I mean, there were people poached up at the door. It was in one of the suites because it was at the stadium. And there were people poached up with cameras outside the door. Groupies, I think we call them. So anyhow, I had to warn Gary. I'm like, you got quite the squad out here. I know you love getting warm, but there's like the full squad out. But I left and greeted the crowd out there. They were flabbergasted that anybody, whoever walked out of there, was like, cue the hallelujah music. But I stopped and I spent time with that camera crew. It was like 4 or 5 people that were from like Idaho, I think, and raving Gary fans. And I told my Gary story and how I ended up in that room. And they were just mind-boggled, exchanged information. And again, it's that lift as we climb mentality. And as you as a realtor, if you're listening to this right now and you've already started to do the live and now you're getting more serious about it, 6 to 12 months from now, you're going to be that celebrity spokesperson in your town for what you're doing on there. And people are going to approach you and have conversations with you. And you will be described as kind of a big deal. And they're like, that person's not even a video host. She's actually a realtor. He's actually a top realtor in town, and he's built his business because of that local show that he does.
100%. Dude, we got to wind down, but I just want to say this has been one of the most value-driven podcasts I think I've had to date. So thank you. I know that you do a lot of really cool stuff, and you actually help real estate agents create shows, create podcasts, and grow their presence on social media. If somebody wanted to, you know, reach out, talk to you, figure out how they could, you know, get in your circle and how they might be able to help get some help with a show or whatever that might look like, what's the best way for somebody to get a hold of Sebastian?
You got to hit me on the gram, and that's Instagram for those that you may not be familiar. And in the true spirit of Gary Vee, I must say, as he always constantly says, the magic happens in the DMs. That's direct messaging on Instagram. And that leads me to one final just absolute value bomb as we close things out here. And that is, if you're looking for people to interview, go search the geolocations on Instagram. You can geo search cities, keywords, hashtags, businesses, whatever it may be. For our line of business, if I run across a local business that has a terrible Instagram account, I'm going to hit them up and say, hey, I've got some feedback about your Instagram account if you're open to it, and it starts a conversation. Your conversation as a local realtor or real estate professional can be, hey, I saw your Instagram account, just started following you. I haven't been by to try the pizza yet, but I want to. But the reason for me reaching out is to say, I'd love to have you on the show. Everyone loves to hear, I'd love to have you on the show. So that's my final dose of a value bomb there. But yeah.
Straight fire, man. Absolutely. That's awesome. I'm going to post.
Oh, Instagram, by the way, it's Seb Rusk. You couldn't fit Sebastian Rusk on the handle.
Yeah, I was just about to say, wait, did he say what his Instagram handle was? Look him up. It's at Seb Rusk, SebRusk. And I'm going to post ways for you guys to connect with him below the videos, below the podcast, everything that you guys need to do. I appreciate you guys for listening. Hopefully you got some actionable value, and hopefully you're going to leave this podcast right now and you're going to call the first business person that you have in your head right now that you're thinking about,
or DM them.
Ask them if they want to be on the show, or DM them, whatever that looks like. Guys, thanks for tuning into the Real Estate U University podcast. I cannot wait to see you or talk to you on the next episode. Thanks, guys. Peace.